when we're going on in Ephesians 6, verse 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, what part of the body does it protect above all others? The heart, that's right. So protect your heart with the righteousness, which is not a righteousness of works, but it's a righteousness received by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a transforming righteousness. It changes you. It brings you into harmony with God. It's not a set of rules. It's a change in your heart that changes everything you think and say and do. How many of you know that's possible? From your own experience. if you haven't had a life-changing experience, I really question how much of a Christian you are. I don't want to be unkind. You see, you can join a church and stay the same. You can say a prayer and stay the same. You can sign a decision card and stay the same. But you can't meet Jesus and stay the same. So, do you have on the breastplate of righteousness? Is your heart protected? Are you a changed person? We're going on, we don't have much longer. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, Roman legionaries had very strong sandals with thongs which laced up the calf. And they could march long distances, forced marches, because of their sandals. So, your shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to me, speaks about being available. Being anywhere, at any time that God wants you. It's not having a set routine that you have to stick to. It's being adaptable. Also, it's a gospel of peace. So you go to the supermarket to do your shopping, but you've got on the shoes of the gospel. So you meet this precious soul who's in deep trouble and distress. And you do what? You impart peace, see? It isn't so much what you say, it's what you are. It's what you have to give. People are desperately crying out for peace. They long for it and they don't know where to find it. When you contact them, they're not so much interested in your doctrine. They want to know, do you have it? Because if you have it, you can communicate it. And that means being adaptable. You're in the supermarket, you're busy, you've got to shop for all sorts of things, and you meet this precious soul who's on the verge of tears, and you have to stop and talk to her. And you have to impart peace to her. That means having on the shoes of the gospel, of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Going on, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, the Greek word for shield is directly related to the Greek word for a door. Because the Roman legionary had a long sort of oval shield, which was narrow, and it was his protection. And a really trained soldier could so get behind the shield that no part of him was vulnerable. It took training, and it took being in condition. And you need it because Satan is going to fire arrows at you, which are flaming arrows. They're not just arrows, they're flaming arrows. You want a shield that will stop them. You have to learn how to crouch, how to get down, how to leave no part of your body exposed. That has spiritual application. You have to come to the place where no part of your life is exposed, where you're fully protected. I said to somebody the other day, I said, the shield doesn't protect our luxuries. It just protects our essentials. And I mean, I have nothing against indulging yourself up to a certain point, but remember, it's not protected by the shield. The shield protects you as you are, just a person. And then we're going on taking the helmet of salvation. What part of you does the helmet protect? The mind, that's right. And I suppose the mind is the place where we have the most spiritual battles in all our experience. Is that right? And so we need a protected mind. Now, after I was saved and became a pastor, I had a tremendous ongoing conflict with depression. And I traced it back later to my father. It was something I inherited from him. I don't want to go into that. Then I discovered that God had provided me with protection. First of all, I was delivered from a spirit, a demon. I was a good Pentecostal preacher, but I was delivered from a demon. What do they call it? The spirit of heaviness was what God called it. And then I thought, now, how do I stay free? And I said, I need to protect my mind. I'm always giving way to negative thoughts and entertaining possibilities that are that don't build you up. So I said, I need the helmet. So I found it here, the helmet of salvation. Then I said to myself, well, I am saved. I know I'm saved. Does that mean I have the helmet? Then I said to myself, no, because Paul was writing to Christians who were saved, but he said, take the helmet of salvation. So I said to myself, what is the helmet of salvation? And I make no extra charge for this, but it's priceless. I mean, actually, you cannot put any value on what I'm going to tell you. Well, my Bible had cross-references. And the cross-reference was to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And it absolutely kindled something within me. I said, my problem is pessimism. My shield is hope. I've got to cultivate scriptural optimism all the time. And I had an ongoing battle because the devil tried to put back depression. And every time he did, I had to thrust at him with the sword, tell him to stay his distance. I had to have a scripture that would answer every suggestion that things were not the way they should be. And really what got me out of it mostly was Romans 8:24. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So I would say to myself, do I love God? Yes. Am I called? Yes. Then whatever happens is working good for me. Can you believe that? Very, very important. I've passed through a tremendous personal crisis in the last 2 years with the passing of my wife. And I would not have survived if I had not believed Romans 8:24. No matter what happens, the question is, not is God working it together for good, but am I walking in God's purpose? And I said, yes, I am. I believe I'm doing what God has called me to do. I believe I'm in my calling. I don't enjoy it. It's painful. But nevertheless, it's doing me good. Because God works all things together for good. If you can believe that, you'll never be depressed again. And I don't make no extra charge for that. But I mean, I'm giving you advice which will save you a lot of time with a psychiatrist. And I notice, I don't know whether you've noticed the same thing, that depression is becoming more and more common. Have you noticed that? People talk about depression today in ways I never heard when I was a boy. I mean, people are actually hospitalized with depression. We need to have protection. It's there. It's the helmet. Going on. Where are we? Take the helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's very up to date now to point out that that word there means a spoken word, rhema. So the sword of the Spirit is not the Bible on your bookshelf or even on your nightstand. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God when you take it and quote it to the devil. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't use any other weapon. Three times when Satan tempted him, he answered what? It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil has no answer when you quote the written word of God. He backs off. So that's the sword of the Spirit. Now all those, except the last, are really weapons of defense. It's only with that that you pass into the realm of attack. But even that, your sword will only reach as far as your arm reaches. You still have nothing to reach out. And there are only six pieces of armor. And then when you've got six good things in the Bible, you can be absolutely sure there is a seventh. Where is the seventh? It's in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What Charles Wesley called the weapon of all prayer. And that is our intercontinental ballistic missile. It'll reach anywhere at any time with amazing accuracy. So that's a list of the armor. Let me just go through it again. The girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always, that's the ultimate weapon, is all prayer. I just want to take one simple example from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. The apostles have been told by the religious and the civil authorities not ever to teach or preach again in the name of Jesus. You see how smart they were? Because there is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. If you can't use the name of Jesus, you can't offer salvation. The gospel has no meaning. And they were forbidden by the authorities over them, the religious and the civil authorities, not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. What did they do? It says in verse Acts 4:23, being let go, they went to their own companions. It's good to have your own companions, isn't it? Don't be a lone ranger. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's the weapon of all prayer. It's all God's people praying together with one accord. And it changed the whole situation. The way it was open for them to continue to preach the gospel. But that was a major crisis in the development of the church. If they hadn't won the victory, then the church could have gone no further. If they were not free to use the name of Jesus. So this is how the church overcomes strategic opposition from Satan. When there is a closed door, when there is a closed nation, when there's a closed group, how can we break through with the weapon of all prayer? And I believe that's what we need today in America. It's the weapon of all prayer. Now, I just want to give you a picture of the climax, the victory. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Who is the accuser of the brethren? Why does he accuse us? What does he want to make us? In one word? Guilty, that's right. We have to learn to deal with guilt. And they overcame him. They, the believers on earth, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So how do we overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In other words, we testify to what the word of God says, the blood of Jesus does for us. Can I say that again? We testify personally to what the word of God says, the blood of Jesus does for us. And you have to know what the Word of God says. You have to testify. It's when it comes out of your mouth that it has power. You can believe it all you like, but it doesn't until you speak it that it works. They, the believers on earth, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And let me point out just one thing from the example of the Passover. You know, the story was that they had to kill the lamb, gather its blood in a basin, and that was protection available. But it didn't protect anybody. They had to transfer the blood from the basin to the place where they were living. And what they used was a little bunch of a herb that grows everywhere in the Middle East called hyssop. They dipped the hyssop in the blood, struck it against the lintel and the doorpost, and they were protected. Now, to apply this analogy, the blood is in the basin. Jesus has shed his blood. But the blood in the basin doesn't protect you. You've got to get it to where you live. How do you get it there? What's the hyssop? The word of your testimony. It's when you testify personally to what the word of God says, the blood of Jesus, that you're sprinkling the blood where it protects you.